Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that pork's name is now Turbis.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, where we're going to be breaking down the Clone Wars panel with J.G. Karst with Blue Saber Podcast. And I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you are missing out with the Clone Wars.
Without a doubt. Awesome panel. Super excited. Might have been my...
The new State Farm Drive Safe and Save app could get you a discount up to 30% for good driving. But this State Farm radio ad gets you 100% discount on this classic.
If I could drive safe and save, would higher rates pass me by?
Get a discount up to 30% with Drive Safe and Save.
Just save some tonight.
Discounts may vary. Not available in all states.
Favorite. I don't want to get ahead of myself here.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the bow tie Jedi I got.
All right, now I get to talk. I think for me, so far, of everything that's happened in Star Wars Celebration, my favorite was the Clone Wars panel, and that is a shock to me. So, and I'm super pumped for us to have J.G. Karst, one of our Patreon supporters. She's like a Tatooine Sons evangelist, but he's also got his own podcast, Blue Saber Podcast, and if you're not listening to it, like I said on our Mandalorian episode, you're not a true Star Wars fan. We're going to gatekeep on that just a little bit. JG, you grew up on the Clone Wars. It's like a major part of how Star Wars became a part of your life. What was your thought? Go back all the way to July, San Diego Comic-Con. They have the 10-year anniversary of the Clone Wars, and at the end, they just dropped the bomb that Season 7 is coming. What was that like for you?
So whenever everybody was tweeting about that, and they were starting to talk about, like, there was things happening, I started actually, like, I was off that day, I remember, and I was working on stuff for my podcast, and I started to actually shake a little bit, because it does mean a lot to me. And then when I watched the trailer, I cried, and I cried a lot, and I have no shame in saying that. And I cried long after the trailer had ended, and it means a lot to me. Clone Wars was something that came on, you know, after Revenge of the Sith, and there was not much content going on for me. You know how a lot of the older generation, they had that wait between Episode 4 and Episode 1. For me, it was waiting for Episode 7, and you know, reading the books could only do so much, and that did keep it alive. But the Clone Wars, I mean, I remember every Saturday morning shooting into Cartoon Network and watching it, and for that to come back and for them to actually give it the finish that it deserves, the finish that, like, Rebels got, for me personally, it means a lot, and I'm really grateful for that.
So, I love that story. I love the Saturday morning cartoon element. I love it being a part of your childhood. What do you think is the reason, though, that Clone Wars has become this phenomenon within the Star Wars universe for so many thousands and millions of fans?
I think it's just because of the fact that it expands more on the war. Like, you know, like, literally it's in the name Star Wars. And the fact that, you know, George Lucas only could touch on so much with the episode 2 and episode 3. He could only put so much in the films, but the fact that George was able to expand on it with the help of course, of Dave Filoni, and be able to expand on what actually happened. Like, we hear about it in episode 4, about whenever Obi-Wan talks about the Clone Wars and that there was a dark time. Like, we were able to now, like, expand upon it. We get all these stories. We realize that these clones, they aren't just clones. They have personalities. And that the Jedi, there were so many, and there was so much going on, and so many different elements and stories. While it was, like, one big great war, there was so many personal, intimate stories going on. And I think that's why so many people could find a story that they can learn from and relate from and really, like, put themselves in.
Yeah, it begins to put a face behind the buckets in some ways, and puts personality to the Jedi. The Jedi are not just legends when it comes to the Clone Wars. You see the faults within the Jedi Council. You see the struggles, you know, that tied into, like, the Dark Disciple novel, where you see Mace Windu calling for the assassination of another former member of their council. You know, all of this, the personalities are in there. You see Ahsoka walk away from the Jedi Order. You see why Anakin begins to distrust the Jedi Order, which is what leads to his downfall in Revenge of the Sith in Episode 3, because the fact that what happens with Ahsoka happens is why the Emperor is able to, Chancellor Palpatine at this point, latches onto that distrust with the Jedi Order and turns that against Anakin to pull him in to becoming Darth Vader. And we don't get any of that without those 6 seasons that we've had already with the Clone Wars. Samuel, what was your initial reaction to the panel yesterday?
Just the panel itself, it was really cool to see the fans' reaction. I mean, obviously I don't have as much of an emotional connection with the Clone Wars as a lot of other fans do, but I can appreciate their reactions to it, you know, and just seeing how happy it made them, just like JG and the guys from Underworld. It's just cool to see that they're so excited for it.
That's awesome.
Including the actors themselves as well.
Yeah, BB Nate, what was one of the things that stood out to you the most from the panel, or that we learned about season 7 of the Clone Wars yesterday?
Just that Ahsoka really goes to the underworld. I didn't expect that. I thought she was going to just, you know, because I read the Ahsoka novel and I just expected her to go to that planet. I didn't connect to that. She has to go through all this other stuff before she does that. But I'm really surprised that she goes to the underworld and makes connections there and then leaves them.
Yeah, and that they brought up, when they were talking about that, they brought up these twins that she's going to be connected to in season 7 that come from 1313. JG, when they brought up 1313, you kind of had a girly giggle kick on. Tell us why that is.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, just one quick question. I don't remember what the significance of 1313 is. So could you quickly explain that?
So I literally audibly like freaked out whenever they said 1313. 1313 was a video game that was going to come out in around 2012. I think actually one of the celebrations, they released behind the scene art and everything, and they were going to go forward. Once Disney had taken acquisition, though, LucasArts had like dissolved, and so the project was canceled. 1313 was the very, like, one of the lowest levels of Coruscant, and that's where a lot of the crime and the grime of the bounty hunter, the scum and villainy was. And they were going to do a full-out-fledged game where you were going to be, like, basically a bounty hunter or something. We made really something cool, and, like, it just fell apart. And they were even talking about possibly a TV show talking about 1313, going deeper. That was going to be on ABC. And so now the fact that we're actually going to probably see some of this story come out, whether it was something from the video game script, whether it was something from the TV show, we're actually now going to get to see 1313. We've heard about 1313. It's been talked about so much. And now to finally see it come alive, for a lot of us who are looking forward to that game in that TV show, we now get to see it. And it's really exciting.
Awesome. You know, and 1313, whether or not it was called 1313, the idea of 1313, the Coruscant sort of underlevels, were brought up in a couple of other novels. Dark Disciple, it's got a major role in. And then A Lord of the Sith, it has a really intense connection to. So being able to see that a little bit more, I go back all the way. This will date me in a big way. to Star Wars Combine times, back when they had the online Star Wars Combine going on, and my character functioned among the Star Wars Coruscant Underground with that. So I'm totally excited to see how they play this out. And if any of you listening to this have any idea what I'm talking about, contact me on Twitter, because my character's name was Saul Edbazian. So if you know who that is, that would be kind of cool to find out. Talk about Sam, right? So Sam Witwer and what he shared about the Siege of Mandalore and the storyline with that.
Yeah, so he, you know, prefaced what he was about to say by saying, like, when he read the script, that he was extremely, like, excited, you know, like, and he was like, you know, I'm not just saying that to me, you know, because you guys will love it. No, he was like, no, I was genuinely freaked out and excited, you know, like, I was glad that I was sitting down when he read that. And then he talked about Maul and what they're doing with his character in this. And instead of just the traditional, well, backtrack a little bit, they were talking about how Ahsoka and Maul are going to meet on Mandalore. And they're talking about how, as much as the fight between Obi-Wan and Maul was short and was meant to be that way in Rebels, the fight between Ahsoka and Maul is going to be this massive, huge battle, right? And then he said that they're doing something special with Maul, because they're bringing Ray Park in, and they're having him mocap Maul. So you're going to have Sam as the voice and Ray Park as the actual Maul, which is going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the best fights in Star Wars up there, probably with Obi-Wan and Anakin in Episode 3.
Yeah, and we're finally going to find out what the background is to the Star Wars Rebels Twilight of Apprentice moment on Malachor, when Maul and Taunt and Ahsoka reconnect, and you could tell there's a relation or something has happened between them. She doesn't trust Maul, but she does trust Maul. You know, in some ways, she's not trying to oppose him. She's wondering what's going on. So I'm wondering, one thing that Dave Filoni said, I don't know if you're getting ready to say this, but Dave Filoni talks about, or Sam Witwer said, there's a moment in this season when Maul has a chance to break the tragic cycle that he's been living in the entire time we've seen him. He starts to step out of that cycle and moves toward freedom in some ways, and then moves back in. I'm wondering if that means he's a part of helping Ahsoka escape Mandalore at the end. I'm curious to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, so I was going to say, when you read the Ahsoka novel, you find out that the clones turn on her during the Siege of Mandalore. First off, do you think we see that in this episode?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big part of the Siege of Mandalore, the ending of the series.
I have a visual, which this sounds crazy in my head, of Ahsoka and Maul going at it, and then all of a sudden they're fighting back to back against these clones that are turning against them. Like, there's this triangle between Rex, Ahsoka, and Maul fighting back to back, fending off these clones that have turned against them.
That would be an amazing moment in the series. Hey, JJ. JG, actually, we should just say we have JJ. I mean, JG on the show. What was the ultimate highlight of the panel for you?
The ultimate highlight? Ooh, I think for me personally, it would be just seeing the clone troopers with the 501st with the orange helmets. We've heard about it teased. We've seen the concept art. We saw it at the Ahsoka panel, the Untold Stories of Ahsoka panel in London. And then we saw it a little bit in the book, Ahsoka book by E.K. Johnson. And now to just visually see it and now actually see that come to fruition and finally close the gap between Episode 3 and the ending of the Clone Wars is like something that's unreal. But to visually see those clone troopers with that helmet is so striking, and it's one of those things you can't get out of your mind once you see it.
You're going to have to think about this. If we do see Order 66, this is all going to be happening at the same time that, you know, Anakin is destroying the temple and stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and I knowing Dave Filoni, I'm pretty confident we're gonna see some things happening that are paralleling what happens in Revenge of the Sith. Some imagery that's similar, some things like that that are going on. But instead of being, you know, we've got Anakin turning into Vader and attacking the younglings in the temple and stuff like that. And then you have his Padawan having to fight off clones in episodes or Order 66. So I think this is going to be amazing. BB Nate, you know, what is your, like, final prediction for what we're going to see in Season 7, and how much are you looking forward to it?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also really looking forward to Mandalorian, and of course they're coming out around the same time, so we're going to have our hands full, but what I'm wanting to see is I'm really wanting to see Ahsoka again, because it was hard to see her walk away. Like, that was a very pivotal moment in Anakin's part, and I think that now that she's back and then she goes again, I think that's going to really hurt Anakin, and I want to see what happens. So it's cool.
Were you guys all anybody disappointed that we didn't get the first episode?
Yeah, I was. I had set myself up not to get it, so I wasn't too disappointed. The fact that we're only getting 12 episodes, that's why I kind of had a feeling that we weren't going to get it, because they're going to want us to be able to enjoy them all whenever they do come out on the streaming service. So it was it a little bum? Yeah, but I set myself up so that I knew that if we didn't get it, it's going to be okay.
That's awesome. JG, thank you so much for being a part of the show, being a part of our Star Wars Celebration experience here in 2019. It's been awesome hanging out with you again. Guys, I know I joke, I gatekeep, you know, sarcastically and say that you're not a Star Wars fan if you don't listen to Blue Saber Podcast. But JG's really smart when it comes to Star Wars and communicates it really well. I highly recommend his podcast. You should definitely be subscribing to it, tuning into it. JG, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
I think that's going to do it for this episode. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
So I've been digging through this library, and
this party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on We Scream for ice cream.
Oh, I want strawberry.
And 4% while you're screaming at the amusement park. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. Now when you and the family go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on We Scream for ice cream.
Oh, I want strawberry.
And 4% while you're screaming at the amusement park. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. Now when you and the family go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.